Welcome to Ask Prof. Brewer. I'm David Brewer, and I'm a pastor and teacher at Emmaus Bible Church in West Bend, Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining me. In today's session, we continue our series on Resurrection Day, and this is part four. So let's keep going in the biblical text. And then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first came in and he saw and believed, for they did not understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Now, we mentioned that last time just to review what we read toward the end of the part three. So the disciples went back to where they were staying, wondering or marveling at what had happened. So this is a transitional verse, and this is in Luke 24:12. So the translation to their own home suggests that Peter and John had permanent residences in Jerusalem. But that does seem unlikely. The Greek phrase literally means to their own. So since the gender is neutral, John may have meant that these disciples returned to their own friends or temporary lodging. It's kind of hard to know. We won't lose too much sleep over it. So now this is from John 20:11-12. So Mary went back and stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she bent down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. So a little review. Actually, we haven't talked about this yet, so it's not really a review. But Jesus' post-resurrection appearances. So on Easter morning, first to Mary Magdalene. I won't read all the scriptures, but if you get my PowerPoint, you can see all the scriptures. The second one to the other women, and then to Peter. And then Easter afternoon, Resurrection Day afternoon, to two disciples on the Emmaus Road. Resurrection Day in the evening to about 12 disciples, excluding Thomas. The following Sunday to 11 disciples, including Thomas. And then the following 32 days to seven disciples by the Sea of Galilee, to 500 people, including the 11 at a mountain in Galilee, to his half-brother James, and then his disciples in Jerusalem, and then his disciples on Mount Olivet. So apparently, Mary Magdalene had returned to the empty tomb after she had informed Peter and John about it. Perhaps she returned with them. So John presented her as lingering. After that, Peter and John departed. The other women had left the tomb by the time this incident occurred. Mary was still grieving over Jesus' death and weeping over the missing body of Jesus. She had not yet realized what John had done, and she peered into the tomb for a second time. So a few comments about John 20:12. The gospel writers did not describe the structure of the tomb's interior in detail. It's of little importance for them, anyway. It was large enough to accommodate two man-sized angels sitting at either end of the place where Jesus' body had been lying. And the presence and positions of the two angels were of more consequence. It's interesting that the cherubim stood on either end of the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. And this is the only place in Scripture where angels are described as sitting. Evidently, Mary had seen the angels earlier, and their white clothing distinguished them as angels, but Mary apparently did not recognize them as such. And she responded to them as she would have responded to human beings, probably because she was in the shock of grief. And was weeping. So that's John 20:11-12. Let's continue on the biblical text. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Mary replied, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him." So a few comments. The angel's question should have made her stop and consider that there might be another reason his body was missing from the tomb. However, at that moment, it did not enter her mind that Jesus must have risen from the dead as he said he would. And continue on the biblical text. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" So Jesus, a few comments. Jesus didn't appear first to the great or elite people of Jerusalem. Instead, he seemed to be one of his he appeared to one of his most humble followers. Why would Mary not have recognized Jesus? Well, it's because he had a glorified body when Jesus came back to life. Jesus' new body has similarities to his earthly body, but also different. And Jesus' earthly, his new body, is not subject to the ordinary laws of nature. As Jesus returned to life, he could pass through walls and vanish at will. Jesus' new body will never die or decay. At the rapture, all believers will receive the same upgrade. Are you excited? And we will receive a body like Jesus received at his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:20 and verses 42 to 53. So we'll continue on the biblical text. Because she thought that he was a gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will take him." Interesting. And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher, could have been Hebrew. Jesus replied, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." So a few comments. If you lost a loved one and then they suddenly came back to life, you would probably want to hang on to them also, never want to let them go. But Jesus had a job for Mary. So Jesus wasn't telling Mary not to touch him, because in Matthew 28:9, we read about women holding on to Jesus' feet. In Luke 24:39, Jesus told his startled disciples to touch him. Both instances occurred after his resurrection. So I think Jesus just wanted Mary to move on to the task at hand. She had work to do, and so did he. He needed to be about his Father's business. That was from the book, The Gospel of John, from the ministry Disciple Makers Multiply. We'll continue on the biblical text. "To go to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and informed the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them what Jesus had said to her. So Mary Magdalene was the first person commissioned to go and tell others of the resurrected Savior. So those who claim that Christianity is a negative toward women have certainly not examined the scriptures. So the first, another known fact about Jesus is the appearances of Christ that we mentioned earlier. And Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians 15, that he appeared to 500 people at one time. And also, how about the transformation of the disciples? In Evidence Advance of Verdict, they mentioned that the radically changed lives of those early Christian believers were among the most telling testimonies to the fact of the resurrection. One of the most dramatic changes was their willingness to go everywhere proclaiming the message of the risen Christ. We must ask, what could have motivated such a change? Had visible benefits been accruing to them from their efforts, such as prestige, wealth, or increased social status? We might logically account for their actions. As a reward, however, for their wholehearted and total allegiance to this risen Christ, these early Christians were beaten, stoned to death, thrown to the lions, tortured, crucified, and subjected to every conceivable method of stopping them from talking. Yet they were the most peaceful men and women, continually demonstrating their love and never forcing their beliefs on anyone. Instead, they laid down their very lives as the ultimate proof of their complete confidence in the truth of their message. Again, as I said before, that was from Evidence of Demand of Verdict, page 275. And like I said before, if you want this PowerPoint, I'm happy to share it with you. Now, let's talk about the deaths of the apostles. Peter was crucified, Andrew was crucified, Philip was crucified, Bartholomew was flayed to death, James the Greater was beheaded, and Matthew died by the sword, Mattathias was stoned, Thomas was stabbed with spears, John died after exile, and James the Just was thrown and beaten, and Paul was beheaded. So people will die for what they believe is true, but no one will die for a known lie. So some practical application. This gives us hope and encouragement. The resurrection passages offer hope and encouragement, particularly in times of difficulty or despair. So just as Jesus conquered death and rose again, we can find strength knowing that we can overcome challenges and adversities. And also victory over death. So the resurrection passages teach that death is not the end, but rather a transition to eternal life for believers. This understanding can provide comfort and reassurance to those grieving the loss of loved ones, knowing that death is not the final goodbye, but a passage to a more significant existence. And then, third point, courage and fearlessness. The resurrection story inspires us to live courageously and fearlessly. Just as Jesus faced death with unwavering faith and courage, we can confidently confront challenges and obstacles by the Spirit's enablement, by God's grace, knowing that we're empowered by the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Hopefully that's encouraging you. And the fourth point is empathy and compassion. The resurrection passages remind us of the importance of empathy and compassion towards others. Jesus' resurrection demonstrates God's love for humanity, motivating us to love and care for others as God has loved and cared for us. And last point, the practical application, it should give us a great passion for evangelism. The resurrection commissions us to share the message of hope and salvation with others. So just as Jesus instructed his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, we're called to live out our faith and share the good news of the resurrection with those around us. Well, it should be encouraging that he is not in the tomb, but he is risen. And someday we'll see him someday. So I hope that encourages you. Thank you so much for joining me in today's Ask Rob Brewer. I do appreciate you taking the time to listen in on today's session. If you have any questions, feel free to write me or text me. Shalom. Love you all.